Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Kings. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but there are times when I hear a passage in Scripture preached, and I can't get it out of my mind. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about. And it's not just what has been preached. It's several men. As a matter of fact, I've heard this passage preached more than a couple of times in the recent past. And you know the story. You know the story of the prophets of Baal, and you know the story about how Elijah called fire down from heaven, and you know the story of how wonderful and amazing that miracle must have been. It must have been awesome to stand there and see those men, the prophets of Baal, crying out to God, "God, come down!" And they had no idea who they were calling because Baal is not real. They had several times and hours in the day that they could call and call and call, and then all of a sudden, they started to cut themselves with knives and lancets, and blood was gushing everywhere. Blood's all over them, and Elijah, in a really cool, smart-alecky way. I love how he did this. "Why don't you call a little louder? Maybe he's gone right now." I love that about Elijah. "Maybe he's going somewhere else and he can't be with you." When he was trying to tell them, "Your God is not real." You know, I got to thinking about that. Elijah had to call the people of Israel together. And Elijah called. He didn't have to do this. But I found it interesting that he did. He called the people of Israel together because he wanted them to see something. Please hear me today. I believe this could help your life. I really do. Because so many times we don't even realize the position we're in spiritually. I'm not talking about a fake spirituality. That's toilet paper to me. I don't care about people that look good in church time and leave this place and live like the devil. That's not impressive to me. It's not impressive to me to have someone come into this church house and speak as though they are spiritualistic and speak as though they have hours and hours of prayer and then go home and never pray one time. It's not impressive to me. To be real honest with you, who cares if I'm impressed anyhow? The people of Israel at this time were brought together by Elijah because Elijah was concerned for the spirituality of the nation. He called them together because the people had two opinions. They had an opinion of, is Baal real? They had an opinion, is God real? Why did they have this? Because the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, were not short in their allotment of miracles in their nation. They were not shortened. The Lord did not keep from them things. The Lord let them have the Red Sea. He let them have all the history there. He let them have all those great and wonderful things. Yet Israel, so often, blessed by God over and over again, so often became disobedient. So often became to a point in their lives where they didn't really think that God was real. Don't think that it's any different in the nation of America today. We have been blessed beyond measure by God Almighty. We've been put in the greatest country in the whole wide world. There is not a greater country. You say, "Well, why? What do you mean? We live in a country that's suffering right now." Really? I don't think you're going to want to deport. I don't want to live anywhere else. I don't want to live anywhere but America. Right. Hey, America is still the place where the free live. Right. America is still the place where the brave live. And by the way, we're getting braver every day, my friend. I know a lot of folks that are getting a little tired of the immorality of the America that we live in today. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Elijah gathers these people. The people of Israel. The chosen people. To show them that God is really real. To show them that. And when they were shown, so God could turn their hearts back to Him. I read this over and over, and I couldn't let go. And a lot of times I have trouble with Israel because it seems like Israel is always right after a miracle or always right. It just seems like they disobey so quickly. And I got to thinking about this. And I just can't get around that there was something so simple that had happened. Something so simple. And how many can say amen? It's usually the simple that we miss. I thought about this, and it's going to take me a minute, so bear with me. But I thought about this. How did we ever come up with all the humanistic things that we have today to get close to God? Yeah. You go any other religion except this one right here, and you can take me outside later and argue with me about this, but understand this. The only religion that sticks with the Scripture, doesn't add anything to it, doesn't take anything away from it, is this church that you're sitting in right now. Amen. Independent Fundamental Baptist. That's the church that Christ started. Amen. It's not even an argument point. He walked 63 miles to be baptized by John the Presbyterian. He walked 63 miles to be baptized by John the Catholic. He walked 63 miles to be baptized by John the Jehovah's Witness. He walked 63 miles, my friend, to be baptized by John the Baptist, so named by the Holy Ghost himself. It was no mistake that the Baptist church was started, and I get a little sick and tired of people apologizing for what our heritage is. The reason that people add things to seeking out God, how did we ever come up with prayer beads? Think about this for a minute. Because people weren't getting close to God, so they had to do something. They had to something that they had to do to get closer to Him, that they would feel better about their lack of being close. Feel better. They started to institute candle lighting. Why? So you could feel better about where you're at. So you could feel closer to God. Being close to God does not come in a feeling. Now, yes, there are times when you can't help but sense that the Holy Spirit's with you. You can't help it. There are times. But we cannot rely on that for our faith. We cannot rely on those things because it's nothing that we did to get that feeling. It's nothing that you can do to bring in this feeling of being close to God. God does all that. Can't add anything to it. If I would turn 7 cartwheels across this stage, you'd laugh, and I wouldn't be any closer to God than I was when I started. Closer to the hospital, but not closer to God. I want to read a scripture to you. And just stand with me for 1 minute. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. First Kings chapter 18, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." Let me preach to you a little bit this morning about repairing the lines of communication. Repairing the lines of communication. Let's pray this morning. Brother Mike Freimeyer, could you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 21 of this chapter says, "Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him." It's not hard. It's not a very difficult thing. It's not something that is so hard that you can't come to grips with it. If God is God, follow Him. What is sad about this statement, what I see, is the other side of it. What prompted them to come to a point when they did not know? What prompted them to come to a point in their lives where they were unaware of who God was? This is Israel. You're saved people. Amen. You know the Lord is your Savior. At least the vast majority of you have a profession of faith. None of my business. It's between you and God if you're saved or not. If you're not saved in here today, man, ask the Lord to save you. It's not that hard. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it something that it's not. God said, you believe in him, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Not hard. God is not difficult. But why is it that we have a hard time remembering who he is? The lines of communication in our lives with our God have been broken down. Repairing the lines of communication is something that Israel needed to do at this time because they started to think, I wonder if God is real. I would not ask you to raise your hands this morning. I'm just asking you to think in your own mind, in your own heart right now. Have you ever come to a spot in your life where you wondered if God was real? Have you ever come to a spot in your life where you said, God, where are you? Have you ever come to a spot in your life where you just thought, I wonder if what I'm doing is really worth it? Have you ever come to a spot in your life where you just didn't know anymore? I believe the vast majority of people that have trouble doubting their salvation is not truly in the salvation experience itself, but is simply in the communication with the God that they called upon to save them. Now, see, you've got to understand something. To fix these lines is also not difficult. To fix the lines of communication, you have a God that lives in you. You have a God that is all around you. You have a God that cares about you and loves you. You have a God that desires nothing more than to talk with you. The problem that we have as humans is we can't understand why I can't hear him. Well, if he can talk to me, why can't I hear him? The Bible speaks to you. The Word of God speaks to you. Then you can speak to God through what you do. The first step in repairing the broken lines of communication, and I don't want to know who's having trouble with their communication with God, because I'm going to be honest with you, it's not that difficult to have this happen. It's not difficult to come to a spot where you just don't realize that God's not speaking to you anymore. Some of us don't even care. Israel didn't care. They were in a spot where they were just about ready to jump ship over to Baal. Think about that. They were just about ready to jump ship to a completely different God who they knew not, who never brought them out of anywhere, never did anything for them. This God was nothing. But in this God, they could do things. They could do things that would get them closer to him that wasn't even real. In ours, you can't do things to get closer to him. He's always close. See, God relies on your faith. He doesn't rely on your sight. Although there are things, if you would, and we'll get to this at the end, there are things that if you would be very honest, God has shown you from time to time in your life how almighty and wonderful he truly is. If you just take a moment to see it. The first step in repairing the broken lines of communication, and again, I'm not asking you if you're having trouble. I'm warning you if you're not having trouble. And if you are having trouble, I'm going to try to help you to repair them. The communication lines, the first step in getting them fixed is to realize that you're not having communication. That's the first step. The first step is to realize that your busy life does not mean that you can't have communication with your God. The realizing that you are not doing something that's so very, very important that you can't deal with your almighty Savior on a daily basis, that's hogwash. It'll never come to my mind why I can think of how you can't come to church. I don't understand it. There are days I don't want to. I'm a preacher. How dare you? There's days I don't want to come to church. There's days I don't want to walk across 5 inches of snow in our parking lot to come to church. That's almost every day here, seems like lately, all of February. There's days, but you still come. Why?
Because it seems like on those dirty, rotten days, I walk over and don't want to come. The Lord comes down and blesses me in a special way because I didn't want to come here. And he shows me when I get here sitting in my pew being blessed. He goes, "Na, na, 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 I told you it was good to come to church." I fear that in our lives we have literally served other gods. Oh, you need to hear this, Christian. They may not be called Baal. They may not be called Mary. But they may be called something that takes his place. Idolatry, and I believe this with all my heart, is running rampant in America today. We have other things that are more important to God. That's an idol. We have other things, whether it be money, whether it be work. And by the way, don't quit your jobs. Good Lord, have mercy. Don't quit your jobs. Hold on to them with everything you've got. Because there just ain't many out there. And you've got people that are literally in a spot in their lives where everything in the whole wide world has become so busy to them. And what they're doing is, not that it's not important, because what you're doing is probably very important. But is it more important to do that than to fix your lines of communication with your Savior? If I had to ask you, would you like to talk to God today? I bet you everyone would raise their hand, unless you were sleeping. You would think, yes, of course, I want to talk to my God today. Why didn't you? And it's not because you start out the day thinking, I'm not going to. It's not because you start out your morning thinking, I'm just going to ignore God all day today, watch. That's not why you do what you do. You do what you do because it's been what we're programmed to do. It's the way we're made up. We think about the things that are vastly important to us in the moment. We plan to take care of our moments as they come. It's amazing how many moments disregard your God. It's amazing how many moments disregard our Savior. And we try to come up with spectacular ways we can talk to Him. Spectacular things that we can do to make us closer to God. Well, I'll just get another conviction. That'll get me closer to God. Nothing wrong with convictions. Don't misread me. I think convictions are fantastic, but I really hope that the convictions that you have come from your Savior and not from some fella that says if you get this conviction, you'll get closer to God. Because your closest to God is not whether you do things that are righteous or undo them that are righteous. Your closest to God is because you decide in your life that you're going to start to talk to your Savior. Let God fix the inside. Let God fix the outside. You just come along for the ride and make sure you're there when He calls upon you. Make sure you're there when He wants to speak to you. We'd be a whole lot better off if we do a lot more reading in the Scripture, a lot less listening to Joel Osteen. We'd do a whole lot better if we start reading our Bible and stop listening and reading all the garbage that's out there about how we should live our lives. Dr. Phil has the answers for your everlasting life. Dr. Phil is getting a divorce himself. Why in the world would you want to listen to a man that's on the TV, never even gets close to Jesus Christ? Here's a counselor. Why mess with the guy that's out there that doesn't care about you? I'm amazed at that. I'll go to Dr. Spock for my child care. I'll read his wonderful books on how to rear my child. That way I'll be brilliant and with the times. The times is what's messing us all up. We'd go back to the old paths where in the good way is that we'd be all right if we just held on to what God has told us. But we're so busy, and I think one of the greatest reasons that our lines of communication with God break down is because, one, we don't realize that they're broken. We believe when we come into the building that we're doing good enough. Do you know there's nothing wrong with preaching on holiness? As the whole church shakes, please don't go to the holiness place, Brother Dave. But you know there's nothing wrong with not cussing? You know there's nothing wrong with not spanking your child when they do wrong? I've got the timeout crowd looking at me right now with blazing laser eyes. The counting crowd. If you don't get over here right now, I'm going to count to three. It's because you want 3 seconds to get up off the chair. You know that's what it is. I would love to tell you I've never counted my whole entire life, but I've counted, I just haven't used the numbers. I've said before, Luke, do right. Do right or I'm going to get up. Son, I'm going to get up if you don't do right. That's counting to three. That's all that is. I'm just not counting. Why? Because I'm laying down. I'm very comfortable at that moment. I don't want to get up out of this couch. You know darn well parents aren't, they aren't interested at all in justice. They just want it to be quiet. You'll let your kid mess up for an hour as long as you're not listening to him. When I got here, the parents are all saying, hey, you know what, yeah, you're probably right. If my kid was inside the room and doing, he could mess up the whole room if he was quiet for an hour. Amen, brother. How would you feel as a parent, though? And this happens in the teenage years, and this is what's frightening to me because I've got children that are running to those years and one that's running through them. My daughter's going to be driving soon. Do you remember her when she was born? Uh-huh, yeah. I seem to remember that. She's going to be driving soon. I never want a day when she's not communicating with me. There were days, I don't know if you had this experience as a child, but I did. And I've tried to tell my kids, and I used to tell my teenagers all the time when I was youth director here, don't run out of things to talk about with your parents. Parents, don't run out of things to talk about with your kids. And the reason I say that is, years of my life, I didn't talk to my dad. Didn't talk to him. I yelled at him, called him old, called him not intelligent. My dad's one of the smartest men I know. The reason I did those things is because the lines of communication between him and I broke down. Not because of him, because of me. I was his child. I was doing things that I ought not do. I want you to please hear what I'm saying. This is one of the greatest illustrations I can come up with. I was doing things that I shouldn't do. My dad begged me not to do them. He begged me. And if I look back, oh, I would to God I could go back. He begged me, oh, son, don't do that. Son, don't go out and drink. Please, son. I'm begging you, don't do that. And every week I would say, Dad, you just don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I've got it under control. Dad, I can do it. I can get through this. How many alcoholics have said that very same thing? Amen. Over and over, I'd come home and my dad would be waiting on the couch. 3 o'clock in the morning. And my dad worked every day of his life. He still works every day of his life. They tried to fire him, he still came to work. Didn't matter. The guy works every day of his life. He never stops. I don't know anybody that's more faithful and loyal than my own father. Don't know him. And my dad would sit on the couch and wait for his brat, rebellious, rotten son to come home and smelling of alcohol and cursing and saying things they ought not say and say, old man, just go to bed. Why do you wait up for me? My dad was desperately, desperately trying to lend out a hand of communication to me that I would not let come. Why? Because I was rebellious and I wanted my way. And I got my way. I got my way. After a while, my dad quit. He quit trying. And then there came that fateful day when Dad and I had come to a head in our argument. Kids, don't ever get here. I'm begging you, don't ever get here with your dad. Don't ever get to a spot where you're willing to take your dad outside for a fight. Don't ever get to the place where you don't care. My dad's so smart, it just irritates me sometimes. See, your rebellion's not only hurting you. Your rebellion is tearing your parents apart. It's tearing you apart. And your parents desperately, they desperately want you to turn out well. Your parents don't want you to hurt. Your parents don't want you to suffer. Your parents want you to turn out well. And I came to a point in my life where I was willing to take my father outside and show him who was boss. And I would have. My dad's always been a smaller fella. I would have beat my dad up. Proving what? Said, Dad, let's go outside. You and me right now, let's go outside. I'm done with you. Can you imagine hearing this from your children? Can you imagine hearing this from your children? Let's go outside. So I walked outside. Boy, I was mad. Oh, I was mad. And my dad said, go ahead, son. I'll be right there. I figured he'd pick up a bat or something. No. My dad shut the door behind me and locked it. And he didn't tell me, you just stay outside and think about what you've done. He let the communication stop. It was months. I moved out. 16, moved out of my house. I was going to do what I wanted to do because I could do it. I'm begging you never to get to that spot. I guarantee you there's loads of people in this room that would give their arm to be able to speak one word to their daddy again. And I wasted months not talking to my dad. Wasted months with lines of communication broken down, not realizing that I'm the one that broke them. My dad one day came to where I was living. I lived in just a hole. My wife will attest to the fact that I'm not a very clean person. She has to follow me around. I'm a mess. I just lay stuff on the floor and just keep, you know, it's just one of those things. And she literally is the neatest person I know and cannot tolerate that being on the floor to pick up every second. My dad comes to visit the place, didn't say a word about the place, didn't say a word about the fact that we had alcohol in our hands, didn't say a word about the fact that they were smoking dope in the back room, didn't say a word about any of that, but he knew all that was happening. But my dad didn't say a word. All he said was this. He came to the apartment, stepped in one step, and he said, son, I love you. I'm coming to visit you with the hopes that you will reciprocate. He came to the apartment that day with the specific hope of restoring the line of communication with me, with the hope that I would hear what he had to say, listen to the way he was saying it, and realize that our communication was non-existent. Many times our families, this is the way the Ballards meet. We meet at Christmas Eve. Now, we didn't hit into this for decades. We meet at Christmas Eve and at funerals. That's the way the Ballard family gets together. We meet when somebody dies and have food. You would think that we could send a call out once in a while or a letter before someone dies. Can we have lunch? No, we wait until they die. That way everyone gets together and split the bill. I don't know why we do that, but we have no communication in our family. Some of you may be like that. Some of you may be closer than that, and I hope to God that you are. But the communication that we have broken down is not somebody else's fault. You must realize, number one, you must realize that it's you that have broken the line of communication. We don't know what that dirty, rotten rat's done to me. You're still the one that's at fault for breaking the communication because you can still communicate. No matter what has happened, no matter what is going on, I feel sin, and it breaks my heart to know that families don't talk to each other because something that's happened in the past. Perfect example. This is on the internet. They'll probably hear this. Great. I'll get flogged for this at the next family funeral. My mom and my aunt parted ways for a decade over a platter. Oh, and you'll sit there and say, well, that's silly. But in your mind, you're thinking, you know what? I can think of times when our family split up over something like that. Who cares the reason? But the fact remained that two sisters didn't talk to each other over a plate. And neither one of them realized that it was them that was breaking the line of communication. Neither one of them realized it was their fault. Neither one of them realized that it's only a phone call that it takes to reestablish. Nobody realized it. It was just, and by the way, the vast majority of the time, people don't even remember why they don't talk. They just don't. I gave you those illustrations to make you understand something. If you're saved in here today, you are a child of God. Your heavenly Father is no different than my dad. Oh, don't look at me all philosophical. You're comparing your dad to Jesus Christ. I'm not comparing my dad to him. This is what I'm telling you. The way that I broke the line of communication with my dad is the same way I break it with my Savior. I realize that I'm right. Now wait a minute. I didn't say that you were right. I said that I realized that I was right. But I really wasn't right. In my eyes, marching out into that front yard that day was exactly what I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to be the alpha male. I am supposed to be the guy that's in charge. I'm supposed to be the big dog on campus. I am supposed to be the man. And because of those things, I am willing to march my father out to the front yard to prove it once and for all. How sad. The Lord has given us instructions in righteousness. He's given us things that we can do. But we realize in our mishaps that we're right. And because when we realize we're right, we break down communication. Why would he need to tell us if we're just going to do it anyhow? Think about that for a minute. See, Israel was in a place here in 1 Kings where they were unsure of what was right and wrong because they stopped realizing what was right and wrong anymore. It didn't affect them anymore. It wasn't a thought process to them anymore. They were seeing Baal. They were seeing all these things happening. They were seeing the lights and how great it could be and how much they could do and how they could look pompous and look great and look wonderful in front of the people, and they would rather have that than treading around in the desert and doing all these other things. Well, God was never real over here, but over here it seems like he's more real. I think I'll go over here where he's more real. Understand this. Our God that we serve is very real today. Very real. The reason that we don't understand that he's real or we don't see that he's real is because we've stopped looking. We've stopped realizing how wonderful our God is. We've stopped realizing we've broken down the lines of communication. We stopped reading our Bible. We stopped praying. We stopped wanting to talk to our dad. We cry out, Abba, Father, when we have good communication. And by the way, my dad and I are best friends today. But I went to God that I had the months that I wasted with my dad. I would to God I had the years that I wasted with my Savior. I would to God I had those years that I wasted with Jesus Christ. Not communicating with him. The first realization has to come toward fixing this. You have to realize that the lines are broken. The second thing, you've got to try to discover what severed the lines. How did I get here? If I would have come to that realization that day, think about this with me. If I would have come to the realization that day when I sat out in the front yard, my dad slammed the door, locked the door behind me. I didn't have my keys, by the way, which was absolute poetic justice. We lived out in a farming community. The next closest house was a mile away. Don't think that the phone doesn't travel faster than you do. By the time I got to the next house, that door was shut and locked too. That's vindictive to me. I mean, that's just vindictive. I got to sleep on the porch that night. How many of you would do that? How many of you would take strides to show your kid that you love them? Think about that for a minute. If I go into the house, I do the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life. I fight my dad. My dad kept me outside to make me come to a realization. Boy, you are a boy. I was a boy, and he proved it to me that day. I got to thinking, what made me get to that spot? First thing is, I realized I was right. kind of hit on that just a little bit. I realized I was right and my dad was wrong. And I know that you kids in your infinite wisdom, very loosely used, no more than your L7, no more than your behind the times, no more than your fud-dud, no more than your old-fashioned, you no more than your mom and dad. Because they're cool today. It's amazing how uncool they really are today, by the way. I'll just sneak a few of these things in. It's amazing that girl size medium really means toddler size small. I've never seen clothes that needed to be taken off with a potato peeler, but we're having it right now. It's amazing to me how boys' size large is really man's size 4X when it comes to pants. I'm amazed that this fad has kept hanging on as long as it has, where you wear your pants to where if you have to get your wallet out, you've got to untie your shoe to get there. I'm amazed that I've never seen a ball cap more crooked in my entire life than I see it today. The ball caps never point north and south, my friend. They point east and west every time. And they're not formed and shaped like a baseball guy would do it. They're flat across the brim with some kind of symbol on the front that you don't even know what it is. I've never seen so many people thinking that piercing is godly. They have a group right now. I'm pierced for you. That's a group that they say they get their piercings for God. Really? Really? God's interested in that, I'm sure. It's amazing to me that we get to a spot in our lives where we break communication. We've got to realize whatever got us to the breaking of communication. Whatever got us to the point that we are. An alcoholic looks back, and I tell you, you preach the jail ministry enough, you get these guys to come up and talk to you, and they all seem to have the same thought. I just don't know how I got here. I can tell you how we got here. We got here because we stopped having communication a long time ago. I got to the place where I wanted to fight my dad, not because of I was a mean kid or a bad kid, but because I stopped talking with him. Because I stopped, and I'm sounding philosophical, but I'm not being philosophical. If I were to listen to what my dad had to say, understand, keeping the lines of communication is more with your ears than it is with your mouth. Please understand that. You need to hear more what God has to say than what God needs to hear from you. God already knows what's going on in here. He already knows what's going on in your head. He understands all those things. But do you realize that God has more to say to you than you would ever have to say to God? A lot more. My dad has a lot more to say to me than I would ever have to say to my dad. Please, son, don't go out and drink. Do you think he was doing that to keep me from having fun? That's what you kids always say. It's not fun, Daddy, unless I'm drunk. The next morning wasn't very fun. And later on in the evening wasn't very fun. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know that we tend to exonerate the children that have come out of the muck and the mire to the good side. They have stopped being Darth Vader and started being Anakin again. They're no longer bad people. They've come to the good side, and we hold them up and parade them in front of people. Look at what blessed Tommy has done with his life. He's come out of the drunkard, and now he's a great man. I would to God we'd hold up the kids that do right a little bit more often and hold up the kids that stop drinking and don't ever touch this stuff. I would to God that we'd hold up the kids that don't commit the fornication. I would to God we'd hold up the kids that keep themselves pure and keep reading their Bible and keep talking to their Heavenly Father. I would to God we'd parade a whole group of kids through here that literally love God and never stop loving Him. Amen. We can't wait to talk about it. I feel bad even talking about my past because I regret it. But understand this, I don't want the kids to ever go there. I would love to have kids graduating from BBCA that can honestly stand up there and say, I've never touched alcohol ever. Amen. I would to God we'd get kids that come up there and say, I've never committed fornication ever. I would to God that we'd have kids get married. And by the way, your kids are going to be getting married very soon. I'm coming to grips with that. Don't think I like it right now. I'm going to have to find ugly sticks for my children. Beat them ugly.
Maybe they won't get married so soon. I'm going to have to shoot somebody real soon. I feel it. You think I'm kidding? Bring them around, sweetheart. I'm getting my carry concealed. Brother Brent and I, we're going to carry concealed. I'll tell you. Let me come here and meet my daddy. I'm going to make that face too. Might even put my teeth in. How did we get here? How did we get to a point where we wonder if God is real? If you'd be honest with me, there's times in your life where you've wondered that. There's times in your life when you've wondered, is God going to do something for me? I'm in a spot, Lord, I need you, but you're not showing yourself. You're doing miracles for all these other people. Why aren't you doing anything for me? The sad part of that is that's the same philosophy I had with my dad. Dad, there's kids all over right now that their dads are letting them drink alcohol, but Dad, you won't let me? Do you see what you're keeping me from? Do you see, Dad, that you're not blessing me? And you say, well, yeah, but you're asking for something bad, something stupid, and why would your dad let you do that? I wonder if what you're asking for is not what God wants you to have. Come on, Brother Dave. I'm spiritual. I know what God wants me to have. Do you see where the communication starts to break down? Come on now. I'm trying to help you. The reason that we're not communicating with our Father is because we're not letting our Father talk to us. We've got all the things taken care of. Everything. Oh, we've got it all handled. We're smart. We got a Bible. We attend church as much as possible, unless we forget. And we go ahead and come to church, and we do all the things that we possibly can. How in the world can you tell me that I'm not close to God? You can come to church all the time that you want. The preacher went to church for a year before he got saved. See, don't think for 1 minute that coming to church makes you spiritual. Coming to church makes you obedient. See, your spirituality is a direct representation of your communication line. Jack. Can you say Jack in church? Yeah, Jack's here. When I reopened, wait a minute, I don't want to skip ahead. Realize that they are broken down. Try to discover what severed them. Then once you get there, don't be deterred from taking steps to fix them. Don't be stopped. Elijah realized that the nation of Israel was not talking to God anymore. He realized that Israel was not communicating anymore. He said, no matter what, you're going to talk to your daddy today. Oh, man, I had somebody do that to me. My Aunt Bev. She is mean. I used to meet her for lunch. The Golden Jade. She used to take me out to lunch. They had the special, $2. $2. You go now. You eating a whole buffet. Anyways. She would take me into one day she was an ear grabber. You ever had one of those aunts that was an ear grabber? She was an ear grabber. Man, and a thumb bender. An ear grabber and a thumb bender. She'd grab your hand and she would have your thumb in such a way you couldn't get out without breaking it off. So she could lead you around by the thumb and it would tear your hand off to stop. She was tough, about Lizzie's height, too. That's what's irritating. That's why I don't know. I keep the hands way out here. No. My aunt told me one day, this distance between you and your father is stopping today. No distance between me and my dad. Have you ever said that to somebody? Listen to me. No, listen. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you know what, you just don't seem like you're having a good time, or you don't seem like you're enjoying God anymore. You don't seem like your joy is missing. Your salvation joy is missing. You ever have somebody come up to you, grab you by the ear and say, I'm going to take you to God today. But my aunt took me by the ear and says, you're talking to your father today. It was an outsider that saw that I needed my dad. This preacher preaches his guts out. I don't know of a man that loves you more. I don't.
He may not be the most polished guy. He may not be the guy that you're going to take to meet Joel Osteen. Don't do that. He'll go to jail. But you know what? I got to be honest with you. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Paul. Paul reminds me a lot of him. One of my favorite people is John the Baptist. He reminds me a lot of him. People doing the most for God because they relied on God. And he preaches his guts out telling you, you need to talk to your daddy today. You need to talk to your dad today. No, I can't make time. I've got ball games to go to today. I've got things going on in my life. I've got work and I've got all these other things and I've got family issues you'll never comprehend. You need to talk to your dad today. See, what's amazing to me is the worse our lives get, the less we need to talk to God. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. The worse your life gets, the further away from that you want to go and the closer to Him you want to go. The worse it gets, talk to God more. Don't stop talking to God because you don't have time. I got to fix this. I got to fix it all myself. I'm big and strong on steroids. I can fix these problems all on my own. Oh, no, you can't. The more times I've tried to fix my own problems, the worse they've got. I got to talk. And here's the great thing. You come to the realization your lines are broken. You come to the realization of how to fix them. Don't stop from fixing them. Don't let somebody tell you, well, that church is just stupid. You're wasting your time going to church. What's your God done for you lately? Well, you know what? My God just gave me a breath a second ago. Yep, there's another one. Yep, there's another one. Yep, there's another one. He gave me a job to work. If you don't have a job, He's about to give you one if you'll ask Him. I'm going to tell you right now, it's amazing to me that we don't bring the problems that we've got to our daddy. We'd rather hold on to our problems and try to deal with them ourselves. That's insane. You got a dad that loves you. If you had a daddy that was independently wealthy and would give you money every time you came around, you would be his most frequent visitor. But your heavenly Father, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, is disregarded because what have He done for me lately? God doesn't work that way, my friend. God doesn't work that way. What have you done for me lately? He saved me always. If He never gives me another thing, He already gave me too much. Yet He still desires to have communication with me. The reason that your communication lines break down is not because of your heavenly Father. It's because of you. The reason the communication lines broke down between me and my dad was not my dad. It was me. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you don't ever want your son not to talk to you. If I had to ask Mark Thompson, I would just about bet he wants Andrew to talk to him, like a lot. Good friends. They want to be good friends, close. I got to believe, Jim, did you care about your boys enough? They're big boys. But you're a big man, too. You got kind of a, it's good. You're not going to get called out by your sons. I think it'd be a worry thing. They're boys, they're strapping lads, but he's a big fella. But I don't think there ever wants to be a day when your sons feel like they don't want to talk to you, or they don't have time to talk to you. I know that I love my son and my daughter so much, I don't ever want them to feel like they can't come and talk to their dad. I don't ever want them to feel like they come to a spot where dad doesn't understand. I don't ever want them to come to a spot where they think that dad doesn't care about my infirmities. Do you see where I'm going with this? Don't think for one minute that your Savior doesn't love you today. Don't think for one minute that your God doesn't care about you today. He cares for your infirmities. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. But we don't, because we feel like, well, God can't be bothered with my problems. Bothered, that's what He wants. Bothered, that's what He desires to do, is help His children. And if you'd be honest, you desire to help your kids too. And you know how it feels being a parent, how you want to help them. Don't let the communication break down. And when you find out that it's broken down, realize what got you there. And when you realize that, don't stop until it's fixed. When you look in here, and I got to skip ahead. The first thing that Elijah does is let them do all their insanity. And then he says, we're going to restore these lines of communication right here and right now. The first thing he does is he builds an altar. And the reason that I stop here for a moment is because The altar was broken down. I don't know whether it was broken down by the idiots jumping around and cutting themselves. Whether that's what broke it down, that's fine. I don't care how it got broken down, but understand it was broken. And it's amazing how when we start to lose communication with God, the altar breaks down. It's amazing when we stop talking to God, we stop coming here. It's amazing when we stop talking to God, we don't want anything to do with these steps. And we'll come up with a million reasons why not to go. My knee hurts. It does hurt, by the way. But it doesn't stop me from coming to the altar. Other people, and this is a common one, if I go right now, the people in this room will think that I don't have any communication with God. And if they think that, they'll think I'm less spiritual than I really am. Oh, no, no. Nobody can think you're less spiritual than you really are. Because if you won't come to the altar and let somebody stop you, how spiritual can you really be? When your heart is beating and you, and listen, I'm not doing this for the own altar call. I have come to the grips with this. I don't really care who comes. I just want you to know that it's here. And as long as I'm breathing and as long as I'm a preacher, I can guarantee you that there's going to be invitations and altar calls no matter where I'm at. Because this is a place where the lines can be repaired. This is a place where they can be fixed. This is a place where you can come and cry out to your Father, "Oh God, I'm so sorry." The next thing Elijah does is he instructs the people and shows them the first step after you repaired the altar is praise God for who He is. You want to reestablish lines of communication? Tell your daddy how great He is. I told my dad one day, "Dad, I'm sorry that I did that when I was a kid. You're the greatest dad I could ever ask for." Do you know what that did for my dad? It was like I gave him $1 million. I wonder if you found your way to the altar this morning and you got here and you said, "Lord, I'm coming to fix this today. I'm coming to fix my line of communication with You today. And when I leave here, I want You to know that You are the greatest Heavenly Father that there could ever be. You took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. You did for me when I didn't deserve it." Does this sound like your daddy? Does this sound like Him? "I had a terrible childhood." When you were an infant, your dad may have been there, may have not been. But understand this, your parents loved you. And you leave this place today determined to fix that line of communication. Start out with telling your Heavenly Father how great He is. How great is He? You're going to get to heaven someday, and when you get there, saved people, I hope and pray that you don't go up and talk to Jesus and have Him say to you, "Man, I haven't heard from you for a while. It's good to see you again." I hope and pray that when you talk to your Heavenly Father, He doesn't say, "You know what, I'm coming to visit you because I certainly want you to reciprocate." I really hope that you come to heaven and when you get there, you say, "Man, Lord, it's good to see you. I'm so thankful I talked to you just before you called me up." Having a relationship with your Heavenly Father is not His fault. It's our fault. Realize that you have broken lines. Figure out what it took to break them. Figure out how to fix them and don't be deterred from fixing them. Go repair the altar and praise your God. And by the way, what's an altar for? An altar's for sacrifice, amen? That's what they say. It takes sacrifice to come here. You can say what you want to, but it's a sacrifice to come down here. It's a sacrifice to get up in front of people and come down here and visit with your God. It's a sacrifice. You've got to show them that you're obedient. You've got to show them that you're subservient. You've got to show them that you have something to deal with God about. I would to God we'd realize that we all had something to deal with God about. It's amazing. A 30-second altar call seems to be good enough. I got to be honest with you. To deal with everything I got to deal with God about, it would be next Sunday and I'd still be down here. Because of all the things I need to deal with God about in my own life. Things that I would love to have communication with Him. Seeking that out, trying to fix it and not being deterred until it gets fixed, because I love my Father and I want to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother to Him. What are types of sacrifices we can put on the altar? We can bring joy. Joy in Psalms 27:6. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to. It is. Sometimes there's things that happen in your life that take away your joy. Sometimes there's things in your life that take away being happy. And joy is banded around like right now like a word. It's just lost its meaning. It's lost what it means. It, joy is not jumping around like a moron. That's not joy. Joy is being content with where you're at. Joy is being thankful for what you have. Joy is being in a spot where you don't need exterior joy to be joyful. You're just joyful because you know that you don't deserve to go to heaven, but you got a God that loves you enough to take you there. That's joy, brother. You can offer that as a sacrifice. You can offer in Psalm 4:5, you can offer righteousness as a sacrifice. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to do the right thing. God sees that. It's obedient. It's sacrifice. What else can you do? You can offer a broken spirit. You can offer broken spirit sacrifice, Psalm 51:17. A broken spirit's a sacrifice. Offer that to God. Get a little humility in your life. You're not all that. Man ought not to think himself higher. You ought to think soberly. Don't think of yourself as you're something great. You're clay, just like me. Offer a broken spirit. Offer a contrite heart. Romans 12:1, you know what that says. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Serve them. That's a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15, glory to God. He says you can offer praise as a sacrifice. Praising God. Thanking Him is a sacrifice. Thanking Him. And He's well pleased with that sacrifice. He's well pleased with thanking your Heavenly Father for saving your carcass. He's thankful to you for being thankful to Him. And He went to prepare a place for you. How can we be thankful for that? I'm coming to grips with something here. Communication isn't God's problem. It's my problem. And to restore lines of communication is simply repairing the altar, which could be anywhere. You don't have to have this altar. You can make your altar anywhere. And you can thank God and praise Him, have a broken spirit and serve Him and have joy and restore lines of communication with your Heavenly Father. And guess what? Oh, this is so good. If I would have never lived a day in my life without thanking my dad, I never would have gotten to the point that I was. I want you to think about that for a moment. If there was a time in your life where you can realize that you've stopped thanking God and started criticizing God, that's where your line broke down. It's so simple. We stopped praising Him and started doubting Him. Right? I stopped thanking my dad for raising me and started hating Him for putting rules on me. I have people tell me that all the time. I would come to your church, but there's too many rules. We don't put the rules on you. God does. We rely on Him. Instead of thanking God for making a way for you to get to heaven, instead of thanking God for providing for you, and I know every one of you, if you'd really think and go back in your past, sometimes God has revealed Himself to you in a very tangible way. Something that you could grab a hold of and say, you know what, this has got to be God right here. This is going to sound crazy to you, but I don't care. And don't crink your neck. I don't care what time it is right now. I'm trying to establish communication lines today. Just yesterday, I'm driving a car. I am a admitted lead foot. I drive fastly. Love it. Can't stand slow people. Don't like it. Think it's sinful. If you drive speed limit or less, get on the shoulder and put on your hazards. That's good preaching. I drive fast. Sorry. And by the way, it's a sin to break the law. I'm the one that's sinning. Stupid about it. Don't agree with me. So I'm driving. And I'm coming through the intersection at Cotton Corners down there. And I'm going 40. I looked at the speedometer. I thought to myself, what are you doing? This is not you. Step on it. Speed limit's 50. You're going 40. You are the guy that you complain about right now. Paint your hair gray. You gray people drive slow. Gray and hats. If your gray hair's gray, don't wear a hat. It takes off 10 miles an hour. Anyways, so I'm driving, and I'm 40 miles an hour. 40 miles an hour at this intersection. I looked down. I actually made this point to my wife that I was driving slow. And by the way, my wife is a lead foot also. She's worse than I am. I'm going to be real honest with you. She didn't notice that I was going slow. She would never not notice that. And here I am driving slow through this intersection, Cotton Corners, and I am not kidding you, the worst red light running I've ever seen in my entire life happened right in front of my eyes. This guy in his huge pickup truck, I've got the green light. At Cotton Corners, you don't get a green light without everything else being red, okay? That's a big, fat intersection there. This guy blazes through the intersection. I've got the green. I thought to myself for a minute, and you may not understand this. You may not think that this is God doing something here. But I told my wife, God had to do that. Because normally I'll go through that intersection 55. If I go 55 that day, we're in trouble. My wife and I stopped for a moment. We thank God for that. The communication lines were reestablished. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the little things that you give to me. Thank you, Lord, for every day that you give to me. Thank you, Lord, for the last breath that I took, for there are some that are having trouble gaining a breath today. Thank you, Lord, for the food that I partook in today. And maybe if I don't have enough food, that's a lot more food than the vast majority of this world has. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to step and to walk. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to come to church in a heated building with padded pews. Thank you, Lord, for doing things for me. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you, Lord, for all these other things. I'm going to be real honest with you. If your father, your real earthly father, heard you say those things to him, thank you for wiping my butt, Daddy, when I could not do it myself, your dad would die of a heart attack, be revived, and say, that's great. And the lines of communication would then be established. Don't let God not be able to speak to you. Be willing to praise Him. Be willing to thank Him. Be willing to have joy that would show the world that you're happy to be a Christian. Wouldn't that be something? That would be a revival in America in itself. If we Christians would quit worrying about Obama and start worrying about ourselves praising God more. I got to be honest with you, folks. The communication lines have been broken. What can we do to fix them? Rebuild the altar. Sacrifice, joy, praise, your bodies. Sacrifice there. And then praise God for what He's done for you. And don't ever forget it. David had a tent specially made to take with him the armor of Goliath. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to remember that victory so that whenever he was down, he could walk in that tent and thank God for what He's done for him. Do you have a place where you can go to thank God for what He has done for you? Getting that place is a wonderful step in reestablishing and repairing your lines of communication with your Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that the line is always our way. The line is always stretched out to us. If it's broken, it's on our end. And God, I'm so thankful that you don't require a huge payment to get our line reestablished. All you require is us coming to you and thanking you and talking to you and letting you talk to us. Oh God, please don't ever let us turn our back on your word. The trouble that, they had in Israel at that time was they went away from the commandments of God. They stopped letting you talk to them. God, don't let us ever become a place where you don't let us, you don't let yours, we don't let you talk to us. And God, don't let us ever become a people that don't want to talk to you. God, please bless us today. Forgive us. Forgive us for not thanking you more. Forgive us for not loving you more. Lord, please, please speak to us again. Lord, let us come to you and thank you today. Praise you for what you've done. You are the greatest Heavenly Father, the only Heavenly Father, the most wonderful, almighty, perfect Heavenly Father that we could ever have. Please bless us today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. Today be a good day to restore that communication. You just come right now. That's right, just come. You just come. That's right. I'm going to get around that altar. I'm going to restore that communication. Dad, it's been a while. Father, if you can't get a place at the altar, find a chair. Make an altar out of that. How long's it been? How long's it really been since you talked to the Father? With their heads bowed, people are praying. Maybe you're here today and you don't know if you'd die, if you'd go to heaven. You'd say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to know when I die, go to heaven. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Pastor, I'd like to know when I die, go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Sure like to know. Father, help us to have that line of communication, never to be broken down. Help us to restore those things. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Holy Spirit of God, reveal to them that Christ loves them and died for them and rose, and that Christ Jesus alone can give them eternal life in heaven. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.